This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrock and Tommy Gester.
All right, welcome back in. It is Sports Daily. It is another hour, and we are happy to be with you in this winter edition. Ah, it's cold outside. Tom, you know what the best kind of Mexican food in the cold weather is?
You're going to tell me regardless. I don't know.
A burrito.
Clearly, Max didn't have the rim shot ready to go.
There it is.
That's so bad. That's all. I mean, like, look, even if I was feeling 100%,
Thank you.
Not good.
We'll be here all day. We'll be here all week. It's cold, but you know, Max is in there powering through for us. Get it? Max power. Glad to have Max in on the show. Certainly helps us a great deal on days where Tommy's sick, can't be there. We got school canceled, kids going crazy. We got Max there holding down the fort. He's taking your calls at 869-1240. We're taking your video comments where it's been pretty active today. Facebook, YouTube X, all the different places. Thanks for watching on 12 News Connected. Most of it surrounding what we think of K-State, how we would define K-State. I called them a great team, and that's got people a little riled up. It's got KU fans a little riled up. Let's be honest about it, and that's okay. It's interesting, and we're talking about it. How many great teams do you think there are in any particular year, Tommy? I guess that's where that's an important part of that too. I would say usually anybody that considers themselves inside like the top 15 teams or so out of 280 or whatever it is, I would probably call them a great team. Maybe that's a little too generous. I don't know. But, you know, a two or a three seed in the NCAA tournament, those are generally great teams that have, you know, had great years or whatever you want to define it as.
Yeah, I mean, I'd probably put, you know, top 10. There are probably 10 teams usually on any given year that you could probably identify as a true great team. I think this year, because we've had so many teams that have cycled through in the top five and top 10 in the country, that there might be, you know, a handful of others, but no team is perfect. And so I think that you've got to make that distinction as well. Did I see this weekend is the Alabama Auburn game, right? Isn't that 1-2? I believe in
maybe so. I don't know.
I believe that's this weekend. So I'm really excited about that matchup, because you've got, you know, they're great teams. They're elite teams. What they've been able to do, in the SEC for sure, I think is going to be really exciting.
Man, I can't believe that win last night for K-State only moved them up three spots in the net rankings. Speaking of, that's tough. That's a tough blow. And maybe that changes as more teams play tonight, but man, I sure thought that would lift them more. And it's a little discouraging, quite honestly, when you think about what they're going to need over the course of this thing to climb back up there. I'd have to go back and look at the bracket or the listing of teams over the years to see like most losses. And I bet we can do that pretty quickly. Most losses to reach the NCAA tournament. It's not usually more than like 11 unless you've won a conference tournament or something. It's, you know, they're in trouble. You know, like they have to essentially be perfect the rest of the way. That's pretty crazy. And that's a pretty big ask. You know, you go back. Okay. So I'm looking at this. And the problem is an at large, like the numbers I'm looking at are teams getting in that won conference tournaments. We gotta find at large.
Yeah. So what I'm reading now, and again, I don't know how accurate this is. But I'm reading that the most losses by an at-large team has been 14.
Yeah.
But that's not very common.
Right. Yeah. And it feels like, yeah, every once in a while, like Syracuse or something would sneak in with 12. So we're looking at K-State right now with 11. Like they really don't have wiggle room here. How many games do they have left? Six?
Seven conference games.
So you could go 20-11. And then to see what happens in the conference tournament, it is going to be a stretch at that point. Like I don't know that there is a path for them that doesn't involve the bubble. Now, I think it was TJ that was telling me yesterday, Lunardi has them as like the next four out as of right now, which is interesting. I don't know that that means a ton though, because they could win all their games and they're probably going to stay right in that range. But if they lose any one or certainly two of them, they're going to fall out. They're going to fall out. And that's what makes their game so fun right now. Honestly, like it sucks that they're in this position, but it does make it fun when you're watching that game last night, kind of knowing everything's on the line. That did bring a little extra energy to it. So we're happy that they're playing well. We'll talk to Tim Fitzgerald about it tomorrow. We'll have Shreyas Lotta to help us more with KU coming up in this hour. We're also going to talk, but there is a ton of quarterback stuff happening in the NFL, ton of it over the last couple of days with Hall of Fame quarterbacks potentially, you know, rumored to be moved around and all of these different things. So we'll get into that in this hour as well. We'll give you some HTO. Want to say thank you to Prairie Fire Coffee on these cold mornings. They deliver either way, some nice hot coffee there. At the Odyssey Studios, all across the Odyssey family. So thank you to them. Man, what a great night of college basketball. What an emotional night of college basketball. I'm sure KU fans don't think that was a great night of college basketball, because it wasn't. I mean, that wasn't a great game against Colorado, but it was a game. And then we get a game tonight, Tommy. We get Wichita State, UTSA, on the eve sort of that Memphis game at home. They've got a chance here to, look, they got a chance to also extend a win streak. Can they, in a very different way, you know, catch the same kind of fire as K-State? It is not relative, right? They're not going to be playing for some at-large berth in any of this or anything like that. But they will have an opportunity if they stay hot, and they've won two in a row, so relative terms here. But if they can get hot, maybe they could climb up into that top four or five in the AAC, which is... You know, I think that's probably where most people expected them to be. It's still out there for them, but you have to handle it. Like they're in the same boat as K-State. If that's going to happen, they got to kind of win them all.
Well, you're playing at this point for seeding in the conference tournament. You know, you want to try to avoid one of the early day rounds for the American Conference tournament, right? Like you want to make sure that you're getting a bye so you don't necessarily have to play early on and all of that. So that's really where they're at. You know, they're in the bottom four right now in the standings. UTSA is right above you in conference play. They're 4-7. Wichita State is a half game back at 3-7. So you get this win tonight, you know, that you're going to be able to move up above them, you know, and climb your way back, you know, in the standings. This game tonight and then the game against Memphis, and I saw yesterday that the Memphis game will be on ESPN, so you're getting a national audience. You played Memphis tight at their place last time. You've got an opportunity here. I mean, like, think about if they can win tonight, and let's just, you know, throw it out there. If they can snag a home win against Memphis this weekend, then you're looking at 15-10 overall and 5-7 in conference play. And I think you start to feel a little bit better overall about the direction that this team is going. That's a tall task and easier said than done. You lost to UTSA last time you played them. You know, so you've got to make sure that you can get that win first. And then who knows? I mean, you've got Memphis coming into Coke Arena. If there's a way that you can steal one at that point, we're having a different conversation.
Very different. And that's, you know, that's what you can hope for right now. That Memphis game on the schedule is the most exciting they'll have left until the NCAA tournament. But it is very similar to last year in that you just, like, you know that they're capable of hanging with any team in a tournament format. So you just get there. But it sure would be nice to see them consistently play that way down the home stretch before you get to the NCAA tournament. And that's what they'll have tonight. You'll have the opportunity to listen to that game tonight, of course, over on the home of Shocker Basketball, KUIN. So looking forward to that chance for them tonight as well. We do have Shreyas Lotta coming up. Let's set the table here for what we're talking about. So with this quarterback stuff, and we'll dig in the next segment. And this really caught me by surprise. Like, Matt Stafford trade rumors now out there for some reason. I didn't know that was a thing. And maybe it's not. Maybe it's just people reaching for the truth, but it's being put out there a lot of places. And then the more official one is that the Jets and Aaron Rodgers are going to break up. Where does Rodgers go? Does he go anywhere? Should he go anywhere? Do you take a swing at him? What does Kellen Moore do now in New Orleans? Is Derek Carr going to be one of these guys? And I think it ties in, interestingly, Tommy, to a quarterback class not a lot of people are excited about, certainly not at the level they were excited about the class last year, where we don't even know what are the Titans going to do? Are they just going to take a quarterback to take a quarterback, even if they don't like it? We've heard they are interested in trading around a little bit. So we'll get into all of that because it was, I don't know, like, Matt Stafford need to be traded? Like, why would the Rams trade Matt Stafford? Like, where is this coming from? I just thought it was all strange. But we'll dig in because there's a lot of quarterback movement potentially coming this offseason. Some of it might make sense and some of it might not make any sense at all.
I think that if you can get, I know we'll talk about it more next segment, but if you can get a decent return in LA for Matt Stafford, really? And set the table, I mean, they're already going to shop Cooper Kupp. So it looks like, you know, there might be a little bit of a reset, you know, going on with the Rams. I don't know. We'll see.
I couldn't disagree with that more. We'll discuss that. We'll see what the Chiefs need to do. Are any trades to be made for the Chiefs? Because you kind of start to hear that now. Any, like, post, you know, draft type trades that they could make? We'll get into all of it. It's Sports Daily. It's all Brockton Caster. We're with you for another hour. Don't go away.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed's sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Yeah, sure thing. Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Okay, take it easy. We're going on the air.
This is Sports Daily on KFH.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Glad to be here with you. It is a cold and chilly day. We're rocking and rolling, though, right on through. And we're not happy about it, but we're happy to be here with you. We're not happy about the weather. I don't know that anybody is. We've had enough. It's February. It's February 12th. We get a lot of snow and cold after February 12th, but you know what? We're done with it. We're over it. We're sick and tired of it. Mother Nature, if you're listening, call in and we'll talk about it because we don't like it. Good. Here's something for you, though. Tommy, want to get out there and play golf? Golf sounds great. Crestview Country Club, great supporters of the show. You can do that. Simulator rooms. I'm telling you, man, there's something to that. It's freezing cold outside. You just walk in. It's nice and toasty. You throw the games on. You jump on those. So you can play any course in the country on those simulators. Simulators, like, this is the thing now. They've got a league on ESPN about this thing. But it's fun because you can do it and the weather's great. And it's not windy, whatever it is. Crestview's got two of them, bars open, lots of games, lots of food. It's fun. Lots of different kinds of stuff you can do there, even when it's not golf season. So give Crestview a call. Ask them about their memberships. Our wives were just at a big Galentine's Day event there over the weekend. And that went about how you expected. But they had a blast. They went in and they partied hard. And, you know, we slaved away, you know, just being the good husbands, watching the kids, doing our thing while they had a good time.
My wife let me know how much fun it was. And, you know, I was changing diapers and putting the kids down. So, hey, you know what? Like, they've got stuff for everybody at Crestview.
Yeah, give them a call. Tell them we sent you. We'd love to see you out there. All right, Tommy, let's talk about some of this quarterback stuff happening across football yesterday. Shots are fired in like rumors and all of these things. So Aaron Rodgers is done in New York. I don't think that's a surprise. It didn't work. There was always a pretty good chance it wouldn't work. especially when you consider a major injury and then the next season, the recovery from an injury that takes a long time to recover from when you're young and spry. I think the interesting part is, what, if anything, does Rodgers have left in the tank? And like, when we know that injury takes a while to recover from, it's kind of a shot in the dark. I don't know if he's got enough left in the tank to go be effective somewhere. He wasn't terrible last year, but he certainly wasn't like, I'm going to help lead a team to the promised land good. So as he gets older, what are the chances do you think that that could still possibly be in there? You know, he threw for almost 4,000 yards last season, 28 touchdowns, 11 interceptions. He completed 63% of his passes. There's a lot of teams that would take that. So, I mean, I think he absolutely, if he wants to play, he'll find a spot. But I think the question becomes, can he help a team win a Super Bowl?
Yeah, he had a couple of vintage performances for the Jets last year where, you know, individual statistic line wise, he was like the old Aaron Rodgers. They just didn't win. They just didn't win right at the clip that they needed to. And, you know, I think that the speculation is that he still feels like he can go and can play. And a lot of that speculation comes from the fact that he actually flew to the Jets facility to meet with Aaron Glenn and talk about a future. And I think a lot of that speculation was that if he wasn't intending to want to play, he wouldn't have flown up there to talk about the future. Now, ultimately, they decided it wasn't going to work and they're going to part ways and whatever. And I think a lot of people saw that coming. But the fact that he had the willingness to go there, I think, leads people to believe that he wants to play and that he'll find another landing spot. To your point, I think that there are a handful of teams out there that would take Aaron Rodgers, even for a year, if they know that he's going to pass for 4,000 yards, 28 touchdowns, 11 interceptions. But yeah, the rub is that what else do these teams have? And is he the missing link to be able to get them to a championship? That was the whole deal in New York, was that he was going to go to the Jets and that they were a quarterback away. They were an Aaron Rodgers away from winning a championship, and it didn't work.
And yeah, clearly they weren't just a quarterback away. And the team that you've seen that like jumps out to you, like where could he go where this could even be a conversation, is the 49ers. He's got ties to that area. Do they want to pay Brock Purdy? And if they don't, could Rodgers be a stopgap? I think basically could Rodgers be better than Purdy and take them to a Super Bowl? That's as good an opportunity as there is in football to just walk into a roster. That becomes the ultimate question. I don't know that there's any other spot.
I think the Rams, I mean, I know that obviously there's been the speculation that the Rams want to trade Matthew Stafford potentially. And if you're, let's just say that they decide that they want to go a different direction at quarterback. Okay. Whether or not that's the right decision, let's say that that's what they want to do and move away from Matthew Stafford, but you're not enthralled with anybody that's in the draft. You either don't want to trade up to get somebody like Shedeur Sanders or Cam Ward or whatever in the draft. You don't like who potentially will be available to you when you're able to draft. Then maybe you trade away Matthew Stafford, you get a return, you sign Aaron Rodgers for a season, and then you go look at the draft class next year. I could see that potentially being something that the Rams would consider.
I think that'd be crazy. The Rams were a playoff team last year. The Rams have an ascending defense. Matt Stafford was better than Aaron Rodgers last year. And yeah, they might trade Cooper Kupp, but Cooper Kupp didn't provide them anything. So who cares, right? Like, I don't, that's what, and we'll just transition right to Matt Stafford. I do not get that at all. What are you afraid of in the NFC West if you're the Rams right now? They put together and got that defense playing well by the end of the year. They've kind of got everything you need, and Stafford has shown he can be there. Stafford was better than Rodgers last year, to me. So that'd be great. I don't know why they would do that. Like, Stafford's still got plenty left, and just because you might need to trade Cooper Kupp didn't give you anything down the stretch. Do they really need to blow it up because Cooper Kupp doesn't have it left in the tank?
This whole speculation of Matt Stafford potentially being traded out of the Rams, I think it comes from the news that the Giants hired Chad Hall to be their assistant quarterbacks coach. Chad Hall is the sister of Matthew Stafford's wife, Kelly. And so there's
Chad
this
Hall
rumor.
The, Is the husband of Stafford's...
Is the... What did I say? The sister.
The sister.
Matthew Stafford's wife, Kelly, and Chad Hall are brother and sister.
Got it. Okay.
And so the rumor is that the Giants would like to have Matthew Stafford be their quarterback. Remember, they moved on from Daniel Jones, you know, during the season. They're looking for their next quarterback. And the rumor is that they hired Chad Hall to potentially, you know, facilitate or help get Matthew Stafford to play for the Giants.
Okay. So then it would be a Stafford desire, I guess.
Yeah.
At that point. And okay. Like, all right. That I
but
guess.
But I can, if that happens, I can also see the Rams saying, you know what? We don't necessarily want to lose Matthew Stafford, but while he's still got value,
right?
If we can get a return for him, you know, we'll get a return for him from the Giants, who are quarterback desperate right now. So why don't we try to get a haul in return? And if we don't like who's available to be drafted, then we could potentially go sign Aaron Rodgers for a year.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that makes sense. You know, and I still wouldn't do it if I was the Rams, unless Stafford like really wants to go, because the Rams are in a position in the NFC. Like, let's just like put everything to the side. We'll call the Eagles the favorite in the NFC next year. Like, that's fair. Without anything else happening, where would you put the Rams? Because I wouldn't put them any worse than probably third in the NFC next year.
Yeah, I don't know. I'd probably go...
The Niners are in there. The Commanders are in there, Commanders, I suppose.
I would probably say fourth. Like, I would go Eagles, Lions, Commanders, and then probably the Rams after that.
Who would be, if all things are true, let's say Cooper Kupp's gone, but Matt Stafford was the quarterback, who would you be picking on February 12th to win the NFC West? Because I would pick the Rams.
I'd probably pick the Niners at this point. And I know that, like, they remember, they were just decimated by injuries last year. Christian McCaffrey was, I know, but you know, Christian McCaffrey was, you know, not himself a season ago, dealt with a bunch of injuries. If he can bounce back, then I mean, that catapults them as far as power rankings in the NFC for sure.
I just think the I think the Rams have one of the great young receivers in the game. They got a great running back. They can solve line, and their defense got just worlds better by the end of it. I would love, if I'm the Rams, to have Matt Stafford try and go another 2 or 3 years in this window. Now, if they love a quarterback in the class and they want to go get, if you want to make that decision, okay. But if you're trading staff, unless the Giants are willing to give you like a first, which they're not, you know, where do they pick? Like second or third overall? Like, you think the Giants are going to trade that pick for Matt Stafford? No, they're not going to do that. So
they need a quarterback desperately. And if they don't like any of the guys that are projected to them early in the draft,
would
then yeah.
Trade that high of a draft pick for Stafford?
Who are you planning on drafting if you're
just
the Giants that are going to help? I get
draft-
it, but who's... Who else is going to help you? They need to get a quarterback one way or the other. So, like, who are they going to go sign? Who's going to be a better option for them?
Well, look, there are going to be go sign Aaron Rodgers. Go sign Derek Carr if he becomes available. If it allows you to get Travis Hunter or Abdul Carter or one of these other guys that falls, you don't have to take a quarterback if you don't like the quarterbacks. But are you really willing to trade that kind of draft capital for? And again, I still think Stafford's really good. But Stafford's 37. How many more years does he give you? I don't know. I mean, that would have to be a Stafford desire. But even if it was, I don't think I would trade that for him. And maybe it wouldn't take that. Maybe the Rams would be like, you know what, give us your second, which is probably like pick 35 or whatever. Without having it in front of me. It's wild to me that the Rams would even consider this. Because of how good I think they have a chance to be next year with
Matt
Stafford.
I mean, you just said it, like, he's 37. So if you're going to move him while he still has value that you can get in return.
The Rams are an actual Super Bowl contender next year. The Giants are not.
Are they? Like, are they actually?
Sure.
You think, like, you think that compared with the Eagles and the Lions and the other teams in that conference, you think that they are a Super Bowl contender in that conference? Because
yes,
I don't. I think they're a playoff team, but I don't think they're a Super Bowl contender.
No, I do. I do. And there's you know, there's going to have to be some offseason played out in that for sure. But yes, I do actually consider them a Super Bowl contender. I don't know what their odds are on that. I'd have to go look. You know, they. I would just have to go look at what, but I would consider them with
I'm
Stafford.
Not even yes. sure that they will win their division against the 49ers next season. I mean, a lot of it's going to depend upon, you know, what the Niners do at quarterback and if they return with Brock Purdy and how healthy they are and things like that. But
I'll tell you, I think the Niners
say the Rams are going to win the division.
If the Rams have Stafford, I would say that the Niners have more questions than the Rams right now. Now that their upside might be higher, I'll concede that the upside of the Niners might be higher, but I think they got more questions. I mean, you're talking about a young ascending team in the Rams with an old quarterback. That's it. Like it's a outside of Stafford. Like that is a young ascending team. They've done a really nice job of rebuilding that since their Super Bowl. The defense looks good, right? They still have Nacua and a great run game and all of these things. I absolutely think they have a chance next year. They had a chance this year.
My point is that whether or not it's the right decision to trade Matthew Stafford, that's not what my argument is. My argument is that if Stafford desires, like, let's just say to go and right. reunite with his brother-in-law,
that's different.
Then at that point, if I'm the Rams, it's like, okay, well, look, like, let's go ahead and shift our focus here. And at least the positive, at least the consolation prize is that you can still get value for him right now at 37, as opposed to at 39 or 40 or 41. Like, let's go ahead. If he wants to move, let's go ahead and move him. And then we can at least get something in return from the Giants.
Yeah. I mean, if he wants to go, that's a different scenario. I just had not heard anything about that until literally yesterday. So it was just surprising to me. So then how does all of this tie into the draft, right? Now we're seeing Tennessee maybe willing to trade out. Do they really like Cam Ward? Do they just sit there and take Abdul Carter or, you know, Travis Hunter? I still would take a swing at Shedeur Sanders. Like, I'm telling you, like, I don't know about Cam Ward if I would do it, but I would do it for Shedeur Sanders. If I'm a team sitting there, I would take him and let's just find out. Because he fits a profile. Like, he doesn't have this huge arm or whatever it is, but like all the other stuff that makes quarterbacks good, he's good at all of it. Like, he's good at being a quarterback. And so I would take him if I was a team up there and had a quarterback need. I think there is forgiveness now in the league for teams to miss at quarterback in the draft more than there used to be, because it happens all the time, right? We know about the class, but why not take a swing at it? What are the Titans going to do? Now, they may just love another player. And I, if I'm the Titans too, option one probably would be to trade down. But if nobody likes the quarterbacks, then nobody's going to trade up to get one, right? So it's like, okay, what are you going to do there? But if you're the Titans, do you take a swing at one of the quarterbacks that you like, or do you just take Abdul Carter and punt at quarterback knowing you'll be bad again? And then maybe you bring in Derek Carr or whatever, or just roll with Will Levis for another year. And I think it's interesting with the draft this year because there are some clear needs. There are teams picking up there that clearly need quarterbacks, and nobody thinks they're in any of them are going to take a quarterback, which I think ultimately at the end of the day, that won't happen. It always does. Teams will always take the quarterback, but you've got these two quarterbacks up there and a bunch of teams that could use a quarterback picking high in the draft. But it seems like right now the vibe of it is that nobody wants the quarterbacks.
And who are those? I mean, it's obviously Shedeur Sanders and Cam Ward. And so I think it depends upon, you know, how you are projecting them out in their careers. Are they going to be guys that can make an impact for you at that level? Shedeur Sanders has been projected like that at times. The thing about Cam Ward, though, is that he's been around for so long that I feel like if there was going to be a viable NFL future for him, he probably would have entered the draft earlier, right?
Yeah, like,
I don't know. I have a hard time like figuring out what the future for at least him looks like. And then Shedeur, and this isn't a knock on Shedeur Sanders at all. He did some really special things for Colorado last year. I just wonder like how much of it is substance and how much of it is hype. And until he actually gets on a team and until he actually starts football games at the pro level, nobody's really going to know that for sure.
I would definitely rather take my shot with Shedeur than Cam Ward. But five, Tommy, of the top seven teams in the draft as it currently stands need a quarterback. If Aaron Rodgers is done in New York, five of seven need a quarterback. Normally, that would mean Tennessee is in a real position of power here. But it hasn't felt that way yet. Who's going to take that swing? I feel like the Raiders are. I feel like the Raiders are going to trade up and do something crazy. I would love a futures bet on Shedeur going one overall. Just going to let you know that I would love, I think that bet is a good bet. because I think the odds are good enough to do it. But when five of the top seven teams in the draft need a quarterback and we don't have anything solid, and like the feel is that no, like that's a little strange. And that's where I think you enter.
Where do you think that feel comes from? Like, why do you think that all of a sudden, like there's really,
I don't know.
It doesn't seem like there's this major interest in quarterback like there was a season ago.
It must be the two players. It must be Ward and Sanders. But I would tell you that, like, and again, I'm not totally sold on Ward, but I wasn't totally sold on like CJ Stroud either. Like that's not a knock on Cam Ward. That's a knock on me. I don't have a strong opinion on Cam Ward, but I do on Shadur. And Shadur fits a profile that typically people fall in love with. Like the things that you think back to Baker Mayfield, like the quarterbacks that don't have like, that don't look the part as much, but by the end of the process, it's at the end of the day, you're like, and that dude's a winner. He's a gamer. Like all those little things. Like usually that stuff plays out. Look at Bryce Young. Bryce Young doesn't have any of the like the tangibles. He just had all the intangibles. I think Shadur Sanders has more of the physical stuff than Bryce Young had, and the other stuff. So ultimately, I think Shadur is going to end up going first in this draft. We'll see. Trius Lotta, our KU insider, joining us now. Trius, did you guys get some snow up in Lawrence?
Yeah. I got back actually last night from I was heading back after my second article for the KU game, and it was like my windshield was iced over. So I was spending like 20, 25 minutes de-icing it and stuff like that and scraping it off. But yeah, it looks like we got a couple, I think 3, 4, 5 inches maybe.
Yeah.
You know?
We're at about 3 down here, I think.
Yeah, I'm not looking. I haven't been super happy with the amount of snow that we've had so far this year already. And then we have two more, I think, in the next week. No. Two more days of snow in the next week.
That's the rumor on the street. Good night to watch college basketball. It's a very interesting night of college basketball for the state of Kansas. Kansas right now, 11 in the net. They beat Colorado, maybe not by the margin people would have hoped for. They lost the second half of the game. I can't figure it out. What is it? Because if you think it's the big three, all of them had relatively good games by their own standard. They all kind of did what you would expect them to do when they're having a good night. And they did it collectively. And it felt like there was still a lot of meat left on the bone. We've seen Bill Self challenge energy and effort. I can't figure it out with this team, Shri. It's like, what is it? Because though it wasn't those three last night, they were fine.
You know, I think energy and effort is a part of it, but I think those buzzwords that everyone likes to use,
right,
aren't necessarily a kind of encapsulation of this whole issue with this team. The end of the day is they're 320th in 3-point rate. They don't make that many three-pointers either. It's not that much better than a team that was horrible at shooting threes last year. I think they're right around that pace in attempts and makes percentage-wise. And on top of that, they don't get a free-throw line. They're like 300th-ish, 350th probably in free-throw rate. So it's hard for them to win games in a convincing fashion. I think 14-10 this year in predicting them. Like four against the spread. And if the spread is more than like 7 to 10 points, I'm probably picking the other team if I was a betting man. But like, you know, in these predictions that I do, I think I'm like 18-5. And a lot of it is just looking at the fact that, you know, Kansas just can't overwhelmingly beat anybody. They haven't overwhelmingly beat anybody outside of the Iowa State game in conference play. They haven't overwhelmingly anybody who is good, mind you. Like the UCF game was a month ago. And they've been playing pretty much 500 ball from like mid-January onwards. And that's the second straight year where they've been kind of in conference plays in the new look Big 12. And I asked KJ Adams about it, and he was like, I just don't know. And you know, these guys talk about energy, they talk about effort, but at the end of the day, the metric, you know, the roster construction is a part of it. But also the guys just haven't lived up to the expectations. I mean, KJ Adams now put together two really good games. And what is the talk on Jayhawk Twitter? Why is Flory Badunga not playing more? Why is he not doing this? Why is he not doing that? Flory's not played well these last three games.
No.
Let's call it what it is. He has not been as good as he was previously. Maybe he should be playing more minutes. I don't disagree with that. But he hasn't been what he was against Houston or UCF or some of these other teams. And I just think the consistency from these guys isn't there. The metrics wise, they're not a outside of defense, they're not a fantastic offensive team. I think they're top 30, top 35 in KenPom metrics. And even their defense, you know, like I was talking to somebody about this yesterday. If Colorado had a pulse, like if they were good at basketball, that game probably is a lot closer than it is. Like I was watching Colorado play basketball yesterday and I was like, my goodness, I don't understand how you can be a Colorado fan and not be irritated, because the amount of entry passes they missed, cuts that they missed, you know, just isolation ball they played was not good. And they, KU got away with it because KU is a more talented team and Colorado is a bad team. But if KU was playing anywhere who was around 500 or even less than 500 in the conference, I think they have a lot closer game. I mean, you know, I knew the spread was 18.5 and I was no way they're covering 18.5 spread. It's just not happening. You know, they don't have the consistency to show that.
I don't know that we're going to fight. So like, I guess with all of that, what is like, where do you go? I think you just have to say KU, their ceiling, whatever they're like, it's going to be that they are maybe one of, if not the best defensive team in the country. Like that's what they're going to have to do. We've been saying, you know, we've been singing this song for 2 years. Like if it's not that, I just don't know if it's there. We've been asking the same thing. It's not there. So they have to be, this defensive juggernaut. Do you think they can be over an extended period of time? They were fine defensively yesterday, and Colorado, I agree, had a lot to do with that. But yeah, can they find that? Because they've had it lots of times this year. They've looked like that kind of defensive team. Can they find that consistently?
You know, that's a tough question, but I'm going to say no, just because I don't see them winning six straight games in March. I just don't see it with this team. Maybe something can change, but you know, at this point, I think they are what they are, and maybe they'll win two games in the NCAA tournament, and then they'll bow out in the Sweet 16, or they'll lose the round, the second round, like they've done the last 2 years. I mean, I'm thinking about the team since I've started covering KU. I don't know if this KU team is better than the first year KJ Adams at center team. Like, I don't think they are. And I said this yesterday to somebody, if Kevin McCullough was healthy last year, I might have taken last year's team over this year's team. I don't know if that's a hot take to say that.
It's not that hot.
But, you know, I think they were healthy. They had a higher ceiling than this year's team does. And they were just a better overall team. To me, like with the amount of talent on this team, I don't understand how they're so dreadful in so many key offensive metrics. You just can't win basketball games. We don't take threes, make threes, or go to the free throw line. It's just too tough on your defense. And then when you play a team that can actually shoot the ball or got hot, like Kansas State is, you know, blitzing hot right now, you know, then it puts a lot of pressure. And these guys talk about energy and effort. I've seen that, but in conference play, what is the win that you can point to? And it was besides Iowa State, mind you, besides Iowa State, that you can point to and be like, dang, that was a good win for KU basketball. I don't have one. People are going to say UCF. UCF is not a good team. People are going to say it should have been Baylor, but Baylor was another disaster.
It should have been Houston. It should have been Houston.
That too. It should have been Houston.
But that's what's so frustrating, because it should have been Houston, right? Like they should have beat Houston. And that's where it's all about consistency. This team has beaten Duke. It has beaten Michigan State, should have beaten Houston. Okay. Like that is fair to say. So that is the upside. The upside is that they can literally beat anybody. The floor is much lower than that. And so I don't even know what we're supposed to do. They've got games coming up here. They absolutely need to, have to, whatever you want to call it, win the next four. And then two out of those final three are home games between Tech, Houston, and Arizona. Is 7-1 the proper benchmark down the stretch here? Because I feel like it should be.
Yeah, I think it should be. I think, you know, 7-1, maybe 6-2, maybe even 5-3, if we're going to really be honest with ourselves here. I mean, like, they're playing a really easy stretch. Outside of BYU, they should not lose any of these, like, even be have a chance of losing these games.
Right.
Right? But the thing is, and this is what I'm going to say, is everyone's going to buy, you know, I don't know how much people are going to buy into a four-game winning streak right now from Kansas. It'll look good. It's good. Maybe they can reinforce some good habits. They're playing against bad teams, because the minute they play Texas Tech, they play Houston or they play Arizona, which I think they'll beat Arizona because it's at home on senior night. They never lose on senior night. I think they'll win that game. I think they'll go to Houston, probably get their butt whooped. And on Texas Tech, that's a toss-up. And BYU, also another toss-up. I think it could go either way. But I think they should win these other games. You know, I really, really do think, you know, if this is what they think. Bill Self talks about the ceiling. He talks about energy. He talks about, you know, where we're at, you know. But I haven't seen Kansas play, like, consistent basketball for an entire week since that two or three game stretch where they won three straight conference games. Really, if we're talking about against good teams, I haven't seen them play really good since December. Like, it is what it is. And it's two straight years. I mean, you think about it, they were really good in conference play last year, too. They beat Connecticut. Connecticut was dominant last year, okay? I know Connecticut was down Steph Castle that game, but, you know, they were dominant last year. And Kansas beat them. And Kansas just, to me, you know, everyone talks about they should do this, they should do that. I don't know if there's a solution on this year's team to put them in a position to win an NCAA title. They're number 11 in net, but I don't even know why I sit there and say they're the number 11 team in the country. I just don't think they are. You know, I think their ceiling could be that, but I mean, like, they haven't hit that ceiling in a month and a half.
Tria Slotta with us, KU beat reporter for the KC Star. Find all his work on social media. Find it at the KC Star. I'll selfishly let us finish with this then. Okay, if they're not actually 11, but they are 11, we're very anxiously awaiting their placement because the tournament comes to Wichita. I don't know how much of a bracketologist you are, but if they, let's say they go 6-2 down the stretch here, that enough to still make sure they play in Wichita for the NCAA tournament, do you think?
I think so. I think right now they're the 5 seed in Seattle. And selfishly, as somebody who wants to travel, I would like anywhere.
There is no way in the world that the 11th best team in the net, if that's where they are, is a 5 seed. That's not going to happen.
That's what I'm saying. I was like, this was right after the Kansas State game. I saw somebody projected them 5 seed. So I think they'll probably end up in the anywhere from the 3-4 seed range. I'm guessing probably 3 seed just because their schedule was kind of soft down the kind of stretch. Selfishly, I'm hoping it's not in Wichita. I get it. You guys want it in Wichita. I want to travel. So, you know.
Travel down here. Come party in Old Town with the streets. Yes. You'll love it.
Yes, yes. But yeah, I think there's a good shot there in Wichita. I just don't, you know, like, this is my thing. And I say this with the utmost love to college basketball. The consistency from even the top end teams is just not there. Week in, wake out, because at the end of the day, these are college kids, right? And college kids are going through college kid things, good, bad, ugly, right. Whatever, you know, and you know, they just don't have consistency. So in that way, it works out in KU's favor, because this is the oldest team in the, you know, Division I basketball in college basketball experience. So if they put together a little bit of a run here, then they're going to the tournament hot. You know, you could get maybe a 3 or 4 seed. Maybe you win the first two games, and then maybe you have a favorable opponent in the Sweet 16. You win that, and bam, just like that, you're Elite Eight. You never know.
There it is. And you know, it's fine. Yeah, I had an administrator tell me one time, I can't believe people actually bet college sports with all the things that these kids deal with off the field and court. They're like, you guys are crazy doing that. You have no idea what goes into every single game and who's dealing with what, and you know. Yeah. Girl problems or whatever it is. Shreyas, we appreciate it. Follow Shreyas on social. Find his work at the KC Star. We'll just keep trying to navigate this very strange KU season. We'll do it next week. A couple of games they ought to be able to handle before the next time we talk. No problem, but we know how that goes. It's easier said than done.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
There goes Shreyas Slotta. Good stuff there. Always appreciate Shreyas and his contributions here to the program.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby.
If you enjoy football, football,
be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys. New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday.
Subscribe on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.